Good evening, my little powder axe goblins and ghosties, and welcome to a full hour of paranormal broadcasting excellence, known fondly as Visions Magazine Radio. Tonight, Tara and Joseph will be interviewing Lon Delancey. This is one of Tara's Visions Magazine writers, as well as a spellcaster gypsy. If you do not listen carefully and heed the warnings, there will be dire consequences. Anybody in the mood for a bloodletting? Shut up! Natasha must find out from our guest tonight if there is a spell for insolence. Natasha has ways of dealing with such non-compliance.
Oh, not again! Ow. Ooh, ooh. I like that.
Bring in the insolent van so he can be disciplined. Natasha must keep in shape and keep on top of these constant attitude problems. Next, Tara will give Joseph a 6-month tarot card reading of his future. Is it all doom and gloom and filled with punishment, or will he become compliant and change his evil and insolent ways to better serve Natasha? We will soon find out, starting now with VMR24, darlings. Are you listening? Shut up.
Hello, my name is Lori Delancey. I am the last practicing gypsy of my clan. I am a spellcaster, and I am on Joe and Tara's show for Vision Magazine Radio.
I want to know who you're meeting in the cemetery.
I don't have to tell you anything!
Everybody, welcome to Visions Magazine Radio. Say hello, Joe.
Hi, everybody.
Joe, we have a special guest tonight.
Yeah, I know that. I'll be calling her in a minute.
Well,
please tell me who. I'm all guessing here. Go ahead.
Lauren Delancey has written a couple articles for Visions Magazine, and the first one she wrote was The Haunted Doll, which resides in her home.
I remember that one.
And the most recent one is Blood of the Gypsy. You can read Blood of the Gypsy on visionsparamag.com.
Oh, the new Visions Magazine Ventures. This is another one of your writers we're bringing on the air once again. Who the hell else does that? Nobody. All right, Tara, we got a big show here planned. Then we're going to go on to something a little bit different, which is your specialty, which is the tarot. And we'll discuss it after we get done with Lori here. So let me just push a few damn buttons here. Ow! Ooh! Oh, short circuit there. One thing I do want to mention, to give everybody a rest, we are not going to do Breaking Point tonight. Just in case you didn't hear what I just said, we are not going to do Breaking Point. We will have it upcoming in a future show. God knows it's one of my favorites, but we're just seeing how we're going with it. It's going to be a new department, so it is going to be a mainstay. But there I knew a little bit about Tara's writer here, and I think I have a hell of a lot to learn. That's why I really want to dedicate a lot of the show to her. So without further ado, let me hit a few buttons here. All right, let me see if I can get Lori on the phone. Hold on, Tara, get ready.
Hi, Lori. This is Tara from Visions Magazine Radio, and I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Hi, Tara. Thank you very much for having me.
And everybody out there, just a reminder that Lori does write for Visions, and she grew up as a gypsy. So the first thing I want to ask you is about your upbringing as a gypsy, to explain to everybody exactly what that entailed.
Okay. When I was born, right away they have a ceremony to welcome all the newborn gypsies into the clan and to also cast like a protection spell over us so that no other gypsies can ever curse us or spell against us. And it was a very nice ceremony to welcome me into the group. I was raised by my gypsy grandmother. She was the spirit crosser of our gypsy clan. She had many paranormal abilities, and I have a lot of the paranormal abilities that she also has. So as a young child, she saw right away. I was able to see spirits at a very young age and able to do a lot of things that she recognized in herself. So she took it upon herself to teach me the ways of our people and explain the lifestyle and the heritage. And she used to go, before it was even popular, to go to homes and do investigations and see what was happening with any spirit activity. She would go to homes and she would see the spirits as I do, and she would cross them over. And she taught me the way of crossing over spirits. And when I got to be about 16, she gave me the spell casting book and the spell casting log and the ritual doll and everything that went along with what it was to be a true spellcaster for my clan. And it was a very interesting upbringing. I thought that everyone did this in every household until I was about 12 and realized that not every child could see spirits and that this was not the regular, normal upbringing that most people have. And I consider myself very blessed that I, one, have the paranormal abilities that she has, and two, that she taught me everything that I need to know to carry on the heritage of my people. I am the last spellcaster of my clan because my children are a little too modern for this type of a lifestyle. So everything now dies with me. When I die, the gypsy casting book, the log, the ritual doll, all gets buried with me. And so it was quite an extraordinary upbringing. And she was an incredible woman. She had many gifts, but the one gift was that she always knew when it was going to be a plane crash. And I would always say, call up the airport, tell them this is going to happen. And she would just laugh, and she said they would think we were crazy, you know, because we're not accepted yet in society. And when you think back, I'm going to be 50. When you think back when I was 12, you never even heard of gypsies or paranormal people with abilities or anything, investigations. It was kind of like hidden in the closet. And the few times that I did call up the airport, they actually did laugh. And, of course, the next day, the plane would crash. you know, and my grandmother would cry, and she'd say, you know, this is preventable for people that have premonitions, but society just really didn't accept us at that time. And I actually, I guess you could say, stayed in a paranormal closet for a very long time. I did investigations from the time I was 20, and I did all kinds of, I got very good at spell casting by the time I was 20, so I was doing all kinds of spells, and it was strictly word of mouth throughout the community, because you didn't openly say, hey, I have paranormal abilities, I'm a gypsy, I can do this. They would come with the white jackets and take you away. So now, thank God, it's more open, it's more accepted. We have a whole paranormal community. There are so many people that are gifted with so many different incredible abilities. And it's so nice to really, you know, get in contact with these people now. And I see now that a lot of people that are my age live the same life. They kind of hid their paranormal abilities from society. And just now, with the coming out of all the different shows that have brought it out, you know, in the limelight, like the Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures, all of a sudden now society sees what we do, you know, what we really are, which is really fantastic. So I wish she really was alive to see this now. You know, she would have been very happy.
Lori, this is Joe, Tara's cohort in crime here on VMR. That was number one. That was one hell of an opening statement, and you maybe even covered the question I'm about to ask you. And I ask this out of ignorance. I'm here to learn. Tara is a lot more versed in this than I am. If maybe you answered it, maybe you didn't. But for me, I'm here to ask questions. Perhaps could you give us the layman's terminology of what differentiates? Boy, that's a big word for this time of night. What differentiates a gypsy from a witch? From a psychic, and in layman's terms, because to be brutally honest with you, you know, and this is going to sound ridiculously naive, my only experience with gypsies is Bela Lugosi in the werewolf movie.
Right, exactly, and that's that. Actually, I get that response a lot, Joe, from people that really aren't familiar with gypsy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. We kind of have a bad rap. Cher came out with that whole song, "Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves."
I remember
and
that.
Whenever anyone really thinks about gypsies, they kind of think that this is what we were. That we come into town, we take the people's money, we would rip people off, and. And get out the crystal balls. And actually, back in the day, I actually do have my great-grandmother's crystal ball. The crystal ball is strictly for show. It does no purpose. And yes, they were very flamboyant. They lived by traveling throughout. My family traveled throughout Northern Europe, and they did go by horse and carriage. They did have the elaborate lifestyles and costumes. I don't want to, you know, ramble on and on, but the difference is there are differences between a gypsy witch and your regular Wiccan and white witches. It's almost like a religion for, I guess, the Wiccans. They live that religious lifestyle of being a witch. And gypsy, my family ancestry is actually pagan, and it's very hard to explain the differences, you know, just in a short period of time between pagans and Wiccans, but we call upon different spirits as a gypsy clan. We do call upon all earth spirits. We call upon fire and water and earth and wind. A lot of that is also the same as a Wiccan witch, but we also call upon the forest protector, the black wolf, and we use a lot of earthly potions with our spell casting. And it's a very I can't really explain the exact differences between them, but there are about four different types of witches, and unless you, they very closely resemble each other, but there's always differences. And the gypsy witch lifestyle, which I prefer to be called spellcaster, people do call me a gypsy witch. I prefer spellcaster. I think it's the nicer sounding. When you think of witch, you think of, you know, some evil woman riding off on a broom. It involves a whole different type of lifestyle. It's more like a way of life being a gypsy rather than just indoctrinated into a religious life of being a Wiccan. Now, a psychic is just someone who has that specific paranormal ability. They're able to read you, read what's happening in your life, have some things come through to them about the person, and this is only one small gift from a whole community that has a whole mixture of gifts. Like my gift is I see and communicate with spirits. I actually see them in front of me, standing right in front of me, communicating with me. I see auras. I can actually see orbs, which is very controversial in the paranormal field, because orbs are always said to be like raindrops and dust, and I can tell you that they're not. Some of them are actually real. Mm-hmm. And so being a psychic, which I am not psychic, being a psychic is just another paranormal gift of being able to read someone about their life and about what's going to happen to them and what has happened to them. And it's an incredible gift, too. But there's incredible differences with every single gift is so different from each other.
Okay. I want to ask you now about, you know, everyone has different methods to keep those spirits from following you home. What would you do? Instead of just saying, okay, no, don't follow me home, is there anything
a
little more,
protection?
Yeah, anything else you would advise to keep those spirits where they belong and not, you know, following you home on investigations?
Well, let me ask you this, Lori. Before you answer that, that's obviously would be advice to the novice, right, Tara? She's a professional. She lives the lifestyle. So what might work for her maybe should not be attempted or endorsed by the average layperson. Would you agree with that, Lori?
Yes, absolutely. I agree 100%. There's a lot of people that are just coming into the field that are not knowledgeable in what to do in the circumstances and how to protect themselves and how to protect themselves from something following home. And it's very important to really do some background and really know what you're doing. My group actually consists of 8 people, and I am the spirit crosser of the group, and the rest of the group does their investigation while I pretty much troll through the house on my own, since I'm the only one that can actually see spirits and do my thing. We always pray before we go in. We always ask for guidance. When it is time to leave, we do a group prayer outside. We almost turn to the spirits that we were there visiting, and we do a whole ritual of them not following us, that they are not permitted to leave outside the doorway. Because I am the gypsy part of my group, I seal the doorway off with salts and stones and candles, so they can't cross over that threshold. Now, if they do follow you home, which does happen on occasion with a lot of investigations, I always keep the gypsy balls in the front of my opening of my house. Every opening, I have a gypsy ball, and it's supposed to capture any entity that tries to get into your house. It is captured in the ball, and I recommend everyone to have something like that. I also keep a cross by the front door. I have a blessing over the door, and it does happen. I mean, even if you take all these precautions, every single one of us that has done investigations has had something follow us home. So you have to be prepared that it could happen to you.
So if something follows you home, you should expose them to your gypsy balls.
That's so funny. Actually... Sorry. It's just so funny.
I'm still waiting for an answer.
There's a gypsy ball that hangs in the front doorway, right by my front door. So if they pass over the threshold, the gypsy ball is actually capturing them in that ball. They cannot, like, just walk through your house. They are captured in your entrance in the gypsy glass ball.
Okay, so it's like a garbage disposal.
A pretty shiny round garbage disposal for spirits. Yes, I never heard it like that. That's pretty funny.
I'm trying to reach the masses here, so I got
That's good. I have to use that. That's pretty funny.
Right. You got it. It's yours. Go ahead.
Okay.
Tara?
Now, I understand, and you've wrote about this in Visions Magazine, about your haunted doll. So, naturally, I have to bring that up and ask for the history and the latest happenings of your haunted doll, and if she has a name.
Right. I do have, when I was 16, I was given the gypsy chest, and actually there was a blood warning on it not to open it. Inside was the ritual doll that you're speaking of, my haunted gypsy doll, and she was used in hundreds and hundreds of ceremonies, and the only way that I can say it in like today's terms is an exorcism. Is that the person that was possessed by a demon was brought to the gypsy campsite. The doll was laid next to the person. A piece of the clothing from the person was wrapped around the doll. The doll was stuffed with all kinds of, I don't think I can say it's like potions, bags of potions, and sage. And inside is a glass witch's ball. And the demon would be exorcised out of the person, and that demon would be captured inside the doll, inside the glass witch's ball. So the doll is really a vessel, and it's the glass ball inside the doll that actually would capture these evil entities. Now, the doll holds hundreds and hundreds of evil entities, and the doll has a binding spell on it so that these evil entities cannot escape. Now, I also just did another binding spell on it because the doll is deteriorating. It's I'm really afraid that this glass ball someday will break and release all these evil entities. And she is kept in a room upstairs in a locked bedroom by herself because you can just feel the evil off of her. She is just so negative that when I bring her out into the house, I can actually feel my personality changing. And my husband notices it as well. I get very angry and very impatient, and we've locked her away. But the problem is that I do have a resident child spirit who has been in that room, and I actually had to brace the doll to a chair so that the child spirit would stop tipping over the doll, because I'm so afraid this doll, the ball inside the doll, is going to break one of these days. But she's locked away on the other side of my home, and it's a room that I have the key to. No one's allowed in it, and it's kind of a scary thing, and I'm kind of not happy that I have to want to open this ritual doll until my death. And upon my death, she gets buried into my grave. Now, I do have a gypsy grave up in the Catskills where my clan came and, I guess, gathered themselves when they came to America. And I am not going to be buried in that grave with my ritualistic doll and the ball and the spell book and all that stuff. But everything has to go in that grave upon my death. I'm actually being cremated. I don't even want to be near that doll.
Good idea.
She goes in the ground, you know, someday upon my death. And that'll be the end of her. But for now, she's locked away in the room.
All right. Can you tell us about one of your most compelling investigations, something maybe strange happened or, you know, that you can just tell us about?
Actually, I have incredible investigations that I have been on. I've been doing investigations for 30 years. I do a lot of private homes, and we also go to a lot of haunted local places. And there's one place on Long Island. It's called Pilgrim State Mental Institution, and it held hundreds of mentally insane individuals there, and many have died under you know, circumstances. And we have gone there many, many times, and each time I always sense, I always feel the negativeness in that place. Now, this one circumstance where we went in, and it was an old, I guess it was like an old hospital room where they would take the patients when they were ill. And as soon as I walked in, I saw out of the corner of my eye, I saw a figure that was crouched on the floor. And I was probably about a good 20 feet away. And it was a woman, and she was crouched down with her head down and like between her knees. She was wearing a hospital gown. She had kind of like a black, very dirty, very long, crunchy hair. It was she really looked like she was like a homeless person. And at first, she was so clear that I thought it actually was a person. It did not appear to be any kind of a spirit. It was just so solid. And she looked up, and she opened her mouth, and it was just like seeing hell itself. She had this like black eyes, and she screamed this scream, and then she was, like, fucked back into the wall. Now, I have been investigating for so many years. I'm telling you, this scared the living hell out of me. I was like, oh, my God. I was, like, shaking. Most of the spirits I come in contact with are not evil. Most of them are just human spirits. They're just trapped here. I rarely come across one that really gives me the creeps, that really did not appear human. And let me tell you, this woman did not appear like she was human at all. And it scared me very much. And it was probably the last time that I went to Pilgrim State. That was my, one of the circumstances. So I said, okay, well, this is enough. And in these hospitals where there's so many trapped spirits, it's very hard for me to try to cross any of them over, because I try to concentrate like on one at a time, usually in a residence, a home. And when you have so many and so many voices coming at you and so many spirits in front of you, it's very difficult. So that's something that actually I've had nightmares about, and that has stayed with me for many years. This happened probably about 8 years ago, and that was one of the more terrifying things that I have encountered.
Okay. That leads me to my next question, brought to mind, wondering if you believe in demons, if you've ever encountered anyone that claimed they were possessed, and how you handle that type of thing?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, there are demons. You can't have heaven without hell, and you can't have angels without demons. Now, when I was young, in my 20s, when I first started out doing my spellcasting, as all young 20s, are, they always kind of gravitate towards the darker things in life, and which I did. So I would call upon, I would not say I called upon hell's demons or Satan or anything like that. When I do darker spells, we do call on demonic forces. There are specific demons that I call up. And I can actually tell you that, yes, demons do exist. I think that most time that you have an encounter with someone who claims to be possessed by a demon, you have to really have them medically checked out, because many times it is just a mental illness. I think in all the times that we have come across some type of a demon possession, it was not a possession of an actual person, but a demon that was actually in the house causing chaos. And we actually came across a case just last year where there was a demonic force in the home, and we actually had to call in a preacher, and we actually had to do a whole banishment of this demonic force. And so I can tell you absolutely 100% that, yes, demons do exist.
Now, okay, you're dealing with demons, you're doing spells with demons, you said, and how, then that means you have to probably protect yourself, or you kind of know the nature of the demon you're dealing with. How would that work?
Exactly. Now, I do want to just say that 95% of the time, I spell light. I spell with lightness, with positive energy, with Earth's forces. I'm all about the positive, but I do get people requesting a curse or something that to bring up something negative against someone. Now, I thoroughly investigate who they want this curse against. So when I do have to call up dark, my ritual log, my family log, actually has two sides to it. When you have the log facing up with the pentagram in the position that represents Satan, and the log actually looks like a goat's head, in that position. That is the position to call on darker forces and demonics. When it's down, you call upon light. So when I have it up, and I do call demonic forces, I do have to encircle whatever I bring forth, even if it's light, in a circle of protection so they cannot escape my circle. So it cannot go out and cause chaos and haunt someone's house or do any damage. It has to stay within the circle that I have kept it in. The circle consists of salts and stones and candles and all kinds of little gypsy tricks. Yes, I have called up demonics in my past. I try not to. I still do. I get a lot of criticism for doing that. But it's just part of who I am. I was taught both ways. to spell dark and spell light. Now, in order to protect myself and any curses coming back at us or any demonics coming back at us, I do have to do a blood sacrifice, my own blood, with every single spell that I do. So if I'm calling up demonics, I do have to, I usually just cut my finger and let, a certain amount of blood drip down on the family log before I call up the demons. It is my promise that, it's just involved with me. I keeping them in this circle. I am sacrificing my time in the afterlife for these spells and to have these spells done for me, deeds done, I guess, by darker forces.
What does your husband think about all this?
The only person that sees the side of me is my paranormal group. It is the people that I help, and this is all by word of mouth. I am all phone calls that someone needs help, and I go. But outside of this house, I'm your average, everyday housewife and mom, and we don't speak of the paranormal world at all. So he is supportive, but yet he is a non-believer, a skeptic. And in the beginning, it was a little hard to live with a skeptic and non-believer, but I know in his heart that he believes because he sees the things that happen in our house. He hears the spirit. He can't see the spirits. He has no paranormal gift, but he hears the footsteps. He hears the crying, the screams. We have EVPs in our house of the child spirit, so it creeps him out. And believe it or not, I mean, he's a big guy. He's 6'2". He's 250 pounds, but he won't go to bed without me alone at night. so he knows the truth of really what's out there.
Perhaps maybe a little more about spells, maybe some of the do's and don'ts of spell casting, things you would suggest to, keep yourself safe.
Right, exactly. Well, first I would tell everyone, don't get into spell casting. Don't call up anything. Don't call up any positive energy. Don't call up any demons. It took me years under my grandmother's practice from the time I was 7 until the time I was 16, and then I didn't spell cast until I was 20. It took years to learn how to control, and you don't even really control the spirit world. All you're doing is containing it. You're containing it within your circle, and you're requesting. When I do the blood sacrifice and I make my request for these spells to come true, I am requesting to the spirit. I can't control them. I can't make them, do my bidding. And I would suggest that no one cast spells. It's very, it's something you can't control. And even me, who has been doing this, entire lifetime, if you are not focused and you don't do the right rituals and meditation and protection before you do this, you can actually bring forth something that's unexpected, which I did do. 2 years ago, I brought forth something that we call a crawler, a creeper. It's a very dark, small entity that's kind of like in the demonics. And I actually had to call in a shaman healer to help me banish this thing from my home. So even I, as a, I wouldn't even say professional, but even I, as an experienced spellcaster, you can screw up. And I would say this is not a game. This is not something that anyone should even tackle unless you are years under the practice of someone who really knows their stuff and really knows how to do it. And even then, it is very tricky. You don't control the afterlife. You don't control spirits. You can request. And you can ask them to do your deeds, but it is not something to be played with, because if you do let something out, you can cause a lot of chaos. And believe me, when I had this creeper in my home for 2 weeks, it caused a lot of chaos. So and I'm experienced at it. So I would say no, don't do it. So that would be my advice.
Well, creating chaos is why this radio show exists, Lori.
So next time I bring forth something, I'll send them your way.
We could always use a new guest. Well, Tara, I'll tell you what, that was, fascinating is one word. Educational, she's a very good speaker. I learned a lot, especially the bloodletting. I really like that. You know why? Because everything we hear on the radio and everywhere else, they're all a bunch of good witches. Which is nice. I guess the world needs good witches, but, I prefer talking to a badass now and then. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I really like that she's genuine, open. That is, what I admire about her, that You know, she does dabble in, you know, the black.
She's got a great set of gypsy balls.
Oh, yes. Wish we had some pictures of that.
Me too. But yeah, I thought it was pretty neat, you know, because, you know, I mean, it's just like what we're going to come up next, which is your tarot. You know, it's almost like, you know, and I'm not trying to be derogatory here, but I mean, it is commonly known and understood and believed, like gypsies, tarot readers, you know, it just has a bad notation about it. You know, people just cower away from it, obviously, because what Lori did here today, there's a lot of misunderstanding, you know, a lot of Hollywood hogwash. It just coats this in a very unflattering light, and you listen to this lady for, you know, a half hour, she's so nice, and she loved my joke, so I think she's adorable. That's absolutely great. And she does some of the black witchy stuff, which I absolutely love, because there are a few people I want to put a few daggers in, but, you know, that's my business. You know who you are. So what do you think about that? Obviously not much. With that, we're going to get into the next department here, which is Tara's specialty, which is tarot cards. And this is a, believe it or not, a Tara Ciampa invention. It is the 6-month tarot card reading. What it basically is, right before the show here, before we got on the air, I pulled 6 cards out of the deck. It takes me about, you know, 10-15 minutes, and I have my way of doing it, which is what Tara taught me, which is, you know, hold the deck, you know, of course it's cleansed. It is a cleansed deck, correct, Tara?
That is correct.
It is a purified tarot deck. Do you remember which one I used?
Yes, you used the Legacy Divine deck, and that's by Ciro Marchetti.
There we go. And with that deck, beautiful artwork, you know me, I go to the artwork, you know, and I just hold it. I focus it, and usually what happens, I get like a little tension between my shoulder blades, or my stomach will just go like a little nausea or something like that. It can be that extreme, and if I don't get that really, you know, bitch slap with the cards in my hands, I'm just fanning them out like a Vegas dealer. I usually cut and recut until I get something. I want something, and that's the way it's always worked since day one with you reading me. Correct, Tara?
That's true. Yeah, that's you know, how Joe does it, and that's good because, you know, that's part of the reading process when you're doing it in person, to get the person to focus.
And incredibly focused. I mean, that's what you taught me. Focus on the cards, and I am. I'm not just whipping them out like I'm dealing blackjack here. That's stupid. And you would probably agree that's a very poor way of doing things, correct? You want to have a connection, a feel with the cards. Basically, going with your gut is what I do.
Right. I mean, this isn't a deck of poker cards. You have a, you know, you're using spirit as your liaison when you are, you know, using these cards.
I am.
So you have to, know the symbolism. Okay. That's a whole big, you know, process of study. Okay.
This is what you need to know.
Right. As a tarot reader. And then you also, need to have a strong connection with spirit, your spirit guides around you. I'm also connected with, the animal kingdom and the animal totems.
I am severely disconnected, but that goes without saying if you listen to this radio show.
So, you know, you got to, and I also incorporate, you know, a pinch of astrology.
Mm-hmm.
The tarot deck is broken down into earth, air, water, and fire, the same as astrology is. So you can make those connections if you take the time to study both the tarot and astrology, you know, get your grasp on your symbolism, and then you have to have also your strong connection with the spirit to make it all work.
Well, it just works for me, because every time you read me, it's usually dead on accurate. So without further ado, you know, we're going to get into the Joe 6-month tarot reading. Tara, I pulled the cards. They are in order. I went from July all the way to December. 6 months. Durr, if you don't have a calendar in front of you, I want to see what the rest of my year is going to be. Is it going to be shit, or is things going to turn around? So far, it hasn't been that great, and there's been a lot of bumps in the road, Tara. I think you would agree with that the last couple months.
Yeah.
I need a little bit more focusing here, you know, on my real life, and look at my surroundings and the people in my environment. So the first one would be July. This is what's in store for me for July via the 6-month reading from Tara. Tara, what do we got here? You got the show. Go.
Okay. Well, you know, we're 9 days into July, so hopefully Joe can give me some input on this.
Okay, I'll try.
But, you know, what I see here is a positive card, and it's a card that indicates success, achievement, recognition, and completion of a project.
Ooh, that sounds like me already. So what was that?
Okay, a positive card, success, achievement, recognition, and completion of a project.
Well, let me see if this follows suit with that, because, you know, my short-term memory, I sometimes really stretch here. Recently, you know, because you're working in your office, I'm working on mine, I got my own projects over here. Just within the last 24 hours, I used to be a supervisor at my job. You know, I've been there on the 16th, 8 years, so I know my shit. I know what I'm doing. I was a supervisor for about a 3-4 month period when we got the new shop up and running. Then I went back on the phones because, you know, it was just like, hey, we need more money out of you. You know, you're making money on the phones. And then all of a sudden, believe it or not, within the last 24 hours, my boss came to me and says, hey, you might be a supervisor again. Thank God. That's what I want. I want to teach and everything else. So I guess that's positive. You know, a good outlook or something like that. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Also, I'm in negotiations via my Facebook wall, Joseph Job on Facebook, bringing on a pretty kick-ass guest. Let me just allude to this. Everybody loves those paranormal radio shows. Why? I don't understand it, but, you know, I'm going to give you what you want. I'm going to get you results, and no one's had a guest like this, and it's in the talking stages, but, you know, it could be very positive stepping stone for everybody, in the audience listening, as well as us.
Can we get back to your tarot reading now?
Okay, all right, well, anyway, you wanted positive reinforcement of the card? I just gave it to you.
All right,
next, boss, what we got? After July comes what, August?
August, yes.
Ooh, and okay. I see a word on your notes there.
No, don't you look at my notes.
Oh, jeez.
No, you're not allowed.
I don't like that word.
Okay, no, stop it.
All right, go on.
Not all this is, you know, this
we're
is
keeping these cards
notes.
Top secret here. These are all Tara's notes here, okay?
Right.
For her little voodoo she's doing here.
It's not voodoo.
I know.
Okay. Now, what we see coming up in August. I mean,
gypsy balls.
Everybody, you know, gets used to a routine. You get up, you know, normally would go to a job, dinner at a certain time, different events during the week, and you get into a routine. You know, a lot of times it seems like, well, doing the same things every day all the time. Now, when August rolls around for Joe, he's going to experience some sort of change in that routine.
Ooh.
So something is going to be different come August. There's going to be some sort of change in his routine or lifestyle.
Any inkling where that can go based on the card that was pulled? Changes in my routine, would it be job wise, relationship wise? I know that's getting into those little details you don't want to be too specific on, but any bleed that way? So keep my eyes open?
Well, in the 6 month readings and the way I read you, you know, we just went with one card. Had Joe picked a few cards for August, I'd know more. But just judging by, there's only so much information you get from one card.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's just how we did his reading this time. So,
okay.
Yeah, there will be something changing up for
August. August is a change in my usual setup per day, my routine.
Yes.
Okay, obviously August is being followed by September. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, and then what we see in September is you're going to have some a time of peace and relaxation after after a time of struggle. So September is probably going to start out a little rocky for you, but then it's going to settle down. So the entire month of September isn't going to be bad, but it's going to start out a little rough.
Half the month is going to be a pain in the ass, and I'm going to be cool after that.
Right.
Again, that could be anything life-changing, like a financial situation. I'm dealing with a problem, solved the problem, and moved on. Is that basically what you're saying?
Right.
Interesting. Right. A little specific, a little vague, a little specific, so I'm all right with that.
Okay.
All right, let's go on to October. The witching month there.
Yeah.
Your favorite holiday, obviously the 31st. Go on.
Okay. October is going to be a time of creativity, using your passions and, your confidence to make things come together. Now, that's what we see here in October. And it's a wands card, and wands means action. Joe is also a fire sign, so that means he not only talks about things, but he will actually
do
the things that
through.
He's talking about.
Well, that kind of falls through. Oh, shit, hit the damn microphone there. Sorry about that, folks. Looking at the October notes here, they pretty much pick up the slack from the September. I'm struggling. Things are going to be okay. Then all of a sudden, boom, it's going to take off from there. Is that what that's looking at? I just look at those notes here, peeking at your notes. So basically, the October card really fell after the September card very well, as far as the description and the events to pursue.
Right.
I just noticed it right there. I don't think you even put that together. I just did it for you right now. They'll be $49.95, please.
Actually, one of these 6 months rating is $68, Joe.
And well worth it, because it lasts half the year, and I'll tell you what, it's the last one we did was ridiculously accurate. We just took it, because Tara will give you a breakdown, da-da-da-da-da-da. You put it up on a wall, you just look at it, and it's like, damn. I mean, I've already had two events come true today, true in July. We're only just starting the month here.
Yeah, and another thing I do for my clients that a lot of readers do not, I will photograph the spread of the cards for you.
And shame on them if they don't.
I also keep you on file. So what that means is I keep your reading on file. So then if you get a reading again in another month or so, I will be able to tell which energies have changed, which energies have remained the same. Mm-hmm. It's good to stick with the same reader, because then we can kind of track what's going on in your life a little better. We already understand you. We've got a grasp of your personality and what's going on in your life.
I like the way you mentioned that. Do you think it's a bad idea to jump from reader to reader? Once you have a reader that you're happy with personally, mm-hmm. and you're getting fulfilled, or you're getting the answers or the guidance that you're looking for, mm-hmm. if you start, like, it's like going to a different doctor, like going to a different mechanic, you think that would be a very bad idea? Or is it? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm thinking that's what I just heard you say.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's my technique. That's how I keep my clients happy and coming back.
And reoccurring. I know that for a fact.
Yeah. I mean, I keep a file on them just like a doctor would. You know, I want to maintain their records of when I talked to them last, and then we pick up from there. Now, if you're happy with the reading, sure, I say stick with the same reader. You know, many years ago, I had a reading done. This was years and years ago, and this was way before I was even, in the process of becoming a reader. But I found a reader I liked, and once I did, I really didn't want to deviate. You know,
what set you off that you liked him? Was it just in your gut? Was it an accuracy? Was it an insight? So they can judge a tarot reader is what I'm asking. Mm-hmm. What made you move as a tarot reader to like that reader?
Well, he's a lot different than me. I do my readings differently, but it worked for me that day. He gave me the information I needed. It was actually a reading that was hard for me because it was bad news. But readings are rarely bad news, but, you know, of course, that happens, you know.
Life isn't a whole bunch of cherries out there, you know.
A small percentage of the time, you know. But it was just one of those times where I did get to hear some bad news. But I did appreciate the heads up. I needed it.
And it worked you through your whatever you were doing there. It did work. It did work. Mm-hmm. You found guidance. And that's what this is all, a tool. You're not supposed to follow this as scripture. This mm-hmm. is just a guide. This is what you got to be on the outlook for. Is that correct? You're a tour guide of my next 6 months here.
Right. Exactly.
All right, thanks for that follow-up, Tara. All right, now the next month is November, my personal favorite because, this year I add another candle to the old mm-hmm. damn birthday cake, which mm-hmm. I'll probably not get it again this mm-hmm. year. November 23rd, by the way, is the birthday. Gifts are appreciated, expensive ones. Okay, this is November, okay? It's one of my favorite months. Go ahead, Tara. What's in store for me? Presents?
Well, it sounds like November is going to be one of your better months.
Ooh, good.
You know, it's showing up as happiness, contentment. It's really a good omen as far as relationships, going out and having fun, having a good time.
The lottery heavy on November.
The cups are cards of the heart and feelings. Hmm. Okay, so this is what we have in November.
You sure this is a card for me? You sure you didn't mess up my reading with someone else's?
You're gonna be a changed man come November.
Oh no, it works. I ain't fixing nothing. All right. So November is supposed to be a little kick-ass joy ride for me.
Pretty much.
Boy, do I find that hard to accept. Oh, my boy's gonna reject November. All right. Well, now we're here at Xmas, December, which you know me. I am not a big fan of December. I am not. I don't like the holidays, and if you can't treat someone nice all damn year, one day sure as hell ain't gonna make up for it. You know,
December can be a very stressful, expensive month.
I agree. That's the way I feel. I am the epitome of Scrooge.
You definitely won't find Joe at the mall anytime in
December. Or singing carols. You know, I'd rather throw rocks at him, than money. So go ahead, Tara. What's in store for me in December?
Okay. Well, like I said, we just pull one card. And when I do it for people, I would do usually 2 to 3 cards per month.
But even if you did one thing, it's just like, I can't read that card. It was a little vague. You need to back up another card to take the picture on it. And that only happened during 1 month. You remember that?
There are some cards where I said, you know what, I need a second card just to interpret this one, because some cards can fluctuate in the way you interpret them, and having a second card drawn will help with some cards.
See, that's why you hire a pro. That's why I got her doing mine. Okay, December.
Right, and I always shudder when, you know, someone's a reading, I'll say, oh, I do tarot, and I'm thinking, do you do tarot as a hobby? Do you have a connection with spirit? It's you know,
right.
People like sometimes like to play with these cards, and it really takes a lot of dedication.
Yeah, this is not Legos. This is not Legos. You were running a business. You know, you were surviving on this. You know, like you said, you're a professional, just like a doctor. You are a spiritual doctor, Dr. Ciampa. Sounds good. I like that. All right, Doc, what do we got for December?
Okay. Now, this card here, and I playfully called it, in Joe's case, just for especially for Joe, an anger management card.
Ooh.
Because something's going to aggravate him in December, and he's going to...
Well, the show's not over yet.
So... The card is saying, be courageous rather than scared or aggravated at difficult situations. So he is going to struggle in December. He is going to continue hating December, but he's going to pull through it.
I don't understand courageous. If I'm pissed off about something, why would courage come into play? You're losing me a little bit there.
If somebody's testing your patience, it's about controlling the inner beast.
Okay. And God knows I have those.
Yes.
All right. Don't start exercising my ass yet. Just let my beast be. Well, I think it was pretty good. I always find it fascinating. I mean, well, Tara, what the hell does this leave us with? From July to December, Natasha was saying, is this like, am I going to get my ass kicked? Am I going to learn my role and behave? I doubt it. But, you know, what's the general outlook from July to December, looking at the notes you have here for the next 6 months?
Well, you know, you are going to, starting August, you're going to go through changes. You know, we already kind of got a heads up on July with the new promotion coming up. September, just as, you know, kind of reviewing everything. There will be some struggles in September, October. Your creativity is going to kick in.
I'm going to bounce back in October looking at the notes.
Creativity will kick in, and then that'll lead to a happy November.
Happy November, and then I'm going to get pissed off in December again.
That is correct.
Wow, I'm an emotional roller coaster, ain't I?
Yeah, you are.
Jesus Christ, you should know. And that's why this show exists. Who the hell wants to listen to someone that's just a yawn fest? Yeah. You never know what the hell I'm going to do. You never know when I'm going to reach my breaking point.
Yeah. And it's wild how people's personality comes out a lot in the cards. I just read...
You tell me that all the time.
Yeah.
You do. You know, it's just like... And when you read me back the explanations, or you describe it and put it into like a story, and you milk it down for me, it's just like, shit, that is me. That is me. So you that's where the astrology really comes in. You need to know how to speak to a certain person, correct?
Right, right. And like, for instance, I'll use this as an example. I just read for somebody who's a tattoo artist. She's also a writer. And when I did her 6 month reading, so many cards of creativity and passion were coming through. So her personality, I mean, that just like seeps into the card. So
seepage.
Seeping into the cards. It's
gypsy balls. Go on.
So really, it's like kind of getting a, you know, little glimpse of their soul, of their inner thoughts. Some of the past things
you're
will
peeking
come up. You know, we don't get into the past when we do a 6 month reading, but I do like a general tarot reading, it can touch on past, present, and future.
Now, I remember that you will say this is someone in your past or something like that. You just concluded one a week ago, and it was regarding someone in someone else's past came up. And you had to have a meeting of the minds between you and the client, and basically bringing that out of them. It's just like, you know who you're talking about.
Right.
Remember that?
Right, right, right. And
that was a fascinating reading, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and there was one where, you know, there was a relationship issue, and a draw for him and a smaller draw for the woman in question, the someone that he had a falling out with. Okay?
And you only had vague advice on what she was really like. You had him right in front of you.
Right. He was only there. She wasn't there. So I had assessed her by just drawing a few cards and telling him what's going on in her world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I saw was kind of interesting that the same gentleman showed up in both his reading and her reading.
Ooh, gentleman caller.
And I described this gentleman when we figured out who it was. So it was made for a very, very interesting reading.
An eye opening. It was like, whoa, okay. Yeah. And that's what can happen with these readings. It really is. As soon as you get in there, and this lasted 45 minutes, and oh God, we had other plans. It's like, Tara, come on, just wrap it up. You will not leave your client until you get everything out, every stone unturned, and then you follow them up with some angel card readings and everything like that, because he started discussing about spiritualism. When all hell else would fail with this relationship, he'd start turning to Jesus.
Right, exactly.
And that was your opening to give him an angel card reading.
Yeah, I mean, his spiritual side was coming out, and I figured, I can throw in an angel card reading for him.
At no charge.
This is somebody we knew. So it was a little different.
I've known him for about 2 or 3 years, the way we actually got the gig for Tara is we were out, and there was a note taped to the door. Just like that. Do you remember the essence of the note? It's basically, I'm having a crisis and I need you. I need you to read my tarot.
Yeah.
That was wild.
Pressing relationship crisis. He needed some answers. And I found out that him and the lady friend were polar opposites of the zodiac. So a lot of things were figured out of why this relationship had gone so bad.
It was so bad. I mean, he was in such dire straits that I had you call him the day you got that note. Mm-hmm. He didn't pick up the phone, remember that?
Right, and I knew why. I already said he needs some downtime.
Yeah, and you were dead on about that, and you followed up with a phone call, and you set it up the next day at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and everything worked out.
There were also some warnings in that reading as far as he really needs to take good care of himself. There was a lot of issues where what I was perceiving from the reading was, I was worried about him taking good care of himself and going out of balance, doing some things that weren't good for him.
Yeah, he looks like, and even when I was eavesdripping a little bit, it looks like, I when he was talking, it's like, I hear myself. He's describing me, basically guy talk, and I could understand what that reaction was totally. In fact, it was such a successful reading, he wanted to book you again immediately, which was wild, and you actually backed him off.
Right. He wanted to know, how long he should wait to have another reading. And it's like, well, you don't come back, the next day, because these energies won't change, for another 2 weeks to a month, most likely. I said 2 weeks. You don't want to come back sooner than 2 weeks. So we can try.
You've had people that have done that, and it's like, shit, this is the same damn reading, It's
just, yeah, but then I've had sometime in 2 weeks things really change. So
everything shifts the bed.
I said, you use your inner guidance system. If you feel something nagging at you, I think it's this time, and then you call your tarot reader and you ask them, or your spiritual advisor, whoever, you ask them, for another reading, and they'll tell you, okay, that's why you keep records of when you saw the person.
What you do, yeah. Well, that's great. I hopefully everybody, was paying attention, because I sure as hell was. I mean, I'm the one that's questioning everything, but, until you get a bit slapped in the face with a good tarot reading, you have a great EVP, you see your own shadow person, until you have your own epiphany or breaking point, you just really don't get it. You got to dive into this and open up a little bit, And I've been a very good patient of Dr. Ciampa for this, I question it. And the thing is, either you read me very well or you know me very well, where those cards, this is no parlor trick. It's there. Hopefully there's going to be orders standing by. Thanks for sticking on the radio show and not running over and doing tarot readings right here during the show, which is a rarity. Tara, can you tell people how they can get their own 6-month card reading or angel readings? I believe it's tarotbytara.com.
When you look on the main page there, you'll see the different types of reading. So you want to choose the one that says a 6.
You want to shop around.
You'll have different choices, okay? And if you want to go for the 6 month, you pick 6 month. There's also a 6-card reading, which is a smaller reading, not as involved. Most people really do get the 10-card reading or 6 month, because they get the most information. They don't want their reading to be a small reading, because they need a lot of answers.
What do you really suggest as a professional? I mean, you want to go on a cheap. You can, but, you can't paint the full picture. What do you recommend? It's just like, this is a good reading here. You're going to get information I can give you. I can't, I'll have the information in the cards when you pull X amount of cards. What do you think? Your professional opinion.
Well, naturally, you know, don't go beyond what your budget is, but naturally, I want you to get the most for your money as well. So, you know, my readings, you can get like an animal totem ring for $25. That's one animal totem. And then it goes up in price as to how many animal totems you want me to tell you about that are around you. And then there's angel readings. And then there's also, you know, the different types of tarot readings that I just told you about.
And obviously the six-month reading, which is a Tarot Ciampa, Dr. Tarot Ciampa, Reverend Dr. Tarot Ciampa exclusive.
Right. And like I say, I come up with my own spreads. You know, never feel like...
I'm not going to touch that one.
Never feel like you have to, you know, you get a tarot book in your hand, you have to go by every little single thing.
Right.
You got to get creative with these cards.
You do go with your gut. You totally do. It's just like you really work this, so you do your research, and you put it in such a great format.
And
you
people
really
will say, what type of spread is that? I create my own spreads all the time. A lot of them are arranged intuitively.
You hated a hell of a lot of those spreads you saw in there. It's like, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I really don't agree with a lot of what I see in the books, and that is why, as far as spreads especially.
Spreads.
And that's why, you know, I have my own tarot series that you can buy. That's on my website.
You can learn the tarot via a tarot master. Again, yeah, don't forget about the lessons
right,
out there.
Right, and what the books don't... They don't teach you from the angle of reading for others. They just are very straightforward symbolism. Very, what should I say... they're not doing it from the angle of, you know, how to work with a client at all. Mm. And that's my series is based on how to make this work with a client and how to help them
rather
than just straight on symbolism. This card means this, this card means this. And books will spend too much time describing what the card looks like. Well, you have the card in your hand.
Right.
Certainly you have a deck and you can see what it looks like. So I'm going to go way, way beyond in detail of much more than what you see in the books.
Just because someone pulls a card, you don't actually have the tools to talk to them about that card pull until you really know this person. And astrology and everything else. I mean, what better lesson could you have of you looking at all these books, self-taught research, filtering it and says, this is the right stuff here. This is not bullshit. This is what you need. This is what we're looking at. And this is what you're going to learn. Correct, Tara?
Right. It's broken down very, very easily for you. A book can be very overwhelming. A lot of these tarot books are huge. And it's just so overwhelming that you may, you know.
Let me ask you one thing. I don't mean to cut you off, but it just hit me right now, and I could be just completely off base with this. Is this something that the person that is getting the tarot reading could benefit from by learning all this inside information?
Well, my method of teaching is this. And it really, you know, whatever your goals are, you know, but you have to start slow. You cannot jump into this, you know, and that's why I have it broken down lesson by lesson. And that way, you know, you can really get a grasp on one thing before you progress to the next. And, you know, a lot of people will print them and put them into binder format.
Yeah,
beautiful. We're working on perhaps even putting them all
on CDs and in PDF and Word format, you know, that way you can print them on as you go, have them, research them and everything else. So, yeah, that is on the agenda if we have any spare time whatsoever.
Right.
But you got to get on me about
that. You have to master reading yourself first.
True.
Okay.
Yeah, you always
did. Then once you feel like you can read yourself and you understand how those cards applied to real life, then if you want, you can branch out into your small circle of friends, see how things are working out, see if you've helped them or not. If you've helped them, then you go to the next step and you collect their testimonials, and then, you know, you build up a reputation from there, and then you decide if you want to go into this on more of a professional level.
Which you have. And on that, we're at the final notes here, Tara. Again, a fascinating show. You know, I learned a lot. We found out that my future is not that bleak. The future of the radio show is a whole different thing, but, you know, hopefully I'll still survive. God knows a lot of people are probably not happy about that. What was that little, What do you mean about, what the hell? Oh, Jesus Christ. As I always say, you know, when we end these shows, and believe me, it's a blast, hopefully someone's listening out there. If you don't stand for something, you will fall for absolutely every damn thing out there. And on that high, positive note, as I always leave my audience with Tara, say goodnight.
Good night, everybody.